They were considered reliable. The term reliable here speaks of being faithful, speaks of being firm, solid, reliable. This is a great principle for leadership in the church. When people are appointed to tasks, they need to be those who are faithful, those who are considered reliable, who will do what they should be doing.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today is Letter Day, where we have a chance to hear what our listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints.
And Dave, today I wanted to do something a little different. I wanted to share with our listeners a little bit about Equipping the Saints and Equipping Bible Church, the church which I pastor. Well, we are so thankful the Lord has brought us from the Northwest to South Carolina, and we're planting a church here. And we've been involved in a building project, and our temporary meeting place is done, praise the Lord. And now we're looking at our main sanctuary being built. We're so thankful to the Lord for what He has done for us, for Equipping Bible Church, but also for Equipping the Saints. And I am so thankful to the Lord for all of those who listen and pray for this ministry and those who support this ministry financially. It's such a blessing to us to see how God is working through the hearts of our listeners. So I just want to thank you and praise the Lord. It is a blessing to partner with you in getting out the Lord's word. Okay, well, with this in mind, let's get to our passage. And today we're concluding our look at a fascinating passage in which Nehemiah is going to deal swiftly and righteously with the defilement and neglect of the house of God. And this should be a lesson for us concerning godly leadership. Turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 14.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
And so he learned about it, right? The evil. It's called evil, to corrupt God's things. It's evil to do so. It's evil to bring in, as we'll see, non-believers into the church to serve and function. It's evil. It's wrong. And he wasn't even serving, but he was brought into the temple. And so he describes it as evil. And it was by preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. This is incredibly evil. Tobiah appeared to be a follower, but he was a bad guy, a faker, clearly known as an Ammonite. And he opposed the Lord and Nehemiah. We are not to have any religious association with anyone who doesn't believe in Christ. We are not to have any religious association. Those who believe in Catholic intercessory works, sacraments, and dogma are not brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not. They need Jesus. They need the real Jesus. They see a different Jesus. They need to believe in the true Jesus. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. Christ is the intercessor, not Mary. Okay? The grace they receive in their sacraments is not grace at all. We receive grace through faith in Jesus Christ, right? It's by His grace we're saved. The Church of Christ, by and large, those who believe there need to be baptized to be saved. They're not brothers and sisters. They are not saved. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not by works, lest any man should boast. The dead mainline denominations that proclaim you can live any way you want and go to heaven, that sin's not an issue just because blanket God loves you. Well, that's true, but is sin an issue? Yes, it is. That's why Jesus died, by the way. They deceive people into believing that you can live in your sins and be right with God. They are not brothers and sisters. On the side note, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, because there's multiple passages where Paul makes this clear that we should not be deceived. We are all sinners, but we come to Jesus for forgiveness of sins. We don't stay in our sins and not trust in Christ, right? We come to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral, impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Anybody that lives and are identified by their sin, you know, you have these denominations that bring in, you know, whatever it might be. They say, I can be this way because Jesus loves me. I'm this way and I'm fine, you know, and they're talking about their sin. Don't let anyone deceive you. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Because of this, God's wrath comes. But if they believe in Jesus, they'll be delivered from his wrath. So these are evil places, doing evil things. And we cannot associate with them religiously. We cannot do so. There's a passage that I always point to when I think about this. It is in 2 John. Turn to 2 John. We're not to associate with those who are not saved, no matter if they say they are or not. Tobias said he was saved. He's the Lord, you know, his name was a biblical name, right? He would say, hey, I follow Yahweh, right? Well, he didn't, right? He was a bad guy. He's a bad guy. Turn to 2 John, verse 8. Watch yourselves, it says, that you might not lose what we've accomplished. What did they accomplish? They brought the word of God and they were being built up in Christ, right? What they accomplished? He says here, what accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, that is the truth, the doctrine, the truth concerning Jesus Christ. God took on human flesh. He died for our sins and rose from the dead. It's the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Does not have God. If they don't abide or remain in that, they don't have God. They don't have a relationship. The one who abides the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Now, they had house churches in those days. Do not receive him in your house. And notice this. Do not give him a greeting. In this time, a greeting was a sign that you're a brother or sister. Hey, brothers, a greeting. That was an affirmation. You are a brother. I see you as a brother in Christ or sister in Christ. Do not give him a greeting. Don't acknowledge that person as a brother when they're not, right? Because they don't hold to the teaching of Christ, right? And he says here, do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deed. When we say, hey, they're okay, they're brothers, when they don't have the truth of Christ, that's very evil. When we yoke ourselves with those who have rejected Christ, it is very evil. And we have here back in our passage, Eliashib, who has brought Tobiah in there, and Nehemiah hears about it, and notice his reaction. Back to chapter 13, verse 8. And it was very displeasing to me. Now, that's an understatement. This translation may not be the best translation. The term displeasing is the same word translated evil the verse before. And the term very here in Hebrew means exceedingly or much. It was an incredibly large evil to me. It was really, really, really evil. And certainly that would be displeasing. Exceedingly evil to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a man of God, and if it was exceedingly evil to him, it was evil to God. You see, godly men are not hypocrites. Godly men do not play around with evil and say it's okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Now, this is what Nehemiah does. He doesn't only cling to it, he does the right thing. So what do godly leaders do in response when they see evil? Does he call a bunch of people to meet and have a meeting? Does he call a council meeting? Does he call everybody around to say, let's do something here? No. It says here, middle of 8, so I threw out all Tobias' household goods out of the room. Now, I like that. I like that because he goes right to the issue. He throws his stuff out. Now, evidently from that statement, Tobiah wasn't there. So he'd have a little rude awakening coming back to the temple and seeing all his stuff strewn out in the street, right? Threw it out of the room. So Tobiah gets immediately evicted from God's house. And that's what needs to happen in churches, where there are non-believers who are fakers, who are functioning, and whatever it might be, they need to be immediately evicted. They're not seekers or whatever. No one seeks God, by the way, unless God is drawing them. They are infiltrating the church. They're doing evil, and they need to be thrown out. So I threw out all Tobias' house's good from the room. Now, we're going to see this godly characteristic. He is doing good. And this reminds me of the cleansing of the temple. We looked at that last week. That's why we looked at it. It reminds me of that, that there was a righteous indignation. Now, remember, the Lord had a perfectly righteous indignation, and he's God. We need to be careful. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, but yet godly leaders will do what is right, and Nehemiah did the right thing here. And so we need to never yoke ourselves with those who pretend to know Christ. Never yoke yourself with leaders who pretend to know Christ. Don't do so. Don't yoke yourself over the radio. Don't yoke yourself in books. Don't yoke yourself in the church. Don't do it. We never should yoke ourselves with non-believing fakers. It's bad. Isn't that what Paul talked about and had to deal with the Corinthians? I mentioned this earlier. We see in the book of 2 Corinthians, which we're studying on Wednesday nights, that the Corinthians had affections for false apostles. And those false apostles were slandering Paul and corrupting the Corinthians' attitudes towards him and thus the Lord and his word. And Paul clearly had to unveil, he called it boasting, since he was just using his words to confront that issue. He had to clearly expose that. And that's what we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And turn there. We read this earlier in our service, but let's read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is what we are to do. We are not to be bound together with unbelievers. And then we need to be cleansed from that, as we'll see, through actually confessing in the blood of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. He says, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you're restrained by your own affections. Hey, it's your affections for these bad guys, these non-believers. That's what's restraining you, not us. He says here, now in like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. Hey, you're opening wide to the bad guys, open wide to us. He says here, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Now, this is used almost always for the speak of marriage, and it certainly applies. It applies in any situation about being bound with unbelievers, but it's primarily in context, speaking of these unbelieving false teachers. Not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and laws, fellowship have light with darkness, harmony have Christ with Belial, or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever, or agreement has the temple of God's idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out of their midst and be separate. We need to be separate. Now, when they're inside, they got to be put out, right? We see here, and he says, the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. I will welcome you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. When we have associations and yokings with non-believers, especially in church, our relationship with the Lord is completely strained. And we need to put it out. We need to separate, become clean. I'm not talking about being in the world. Paul said earlier, we're going to have to leave it if we're not in the world. We have associations with non-believers, but being yoked with them, we need to come out of their midst. And then in chapter 7, we see that there needs to be a cleansing. There needs to be a heart attitude change too. Therefore, having these promises, the promise of God and our relationship restored, if we separate, right? He says here, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And how is it we cleanse ourselves? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so then, Nehemiah is a godly leader. He addresses the defilement in the temple by letting Tobiah live there, and he throws him out. And notice he also cleansed the rooms. Verse 9, then I gave the order that they cleanse all the rooms, and I returned their utensils of the house of God with the grain offerings and the frankincense. This is verse 9 of chapter 13. We've seen in Nehemiah, this was a ceremonial cleansing. And all along, those ceremonial cleansings, those purifications we see in the law would point to the ultimate cleansing that comes in Jesus Christ. And so we need to, if we have yoked ourselves, confess and be cleansed through forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. So Nehemiah is godly. But then notice it doesn't stop here, and we'll finish up with this. Notice he sees neglect concerning the house, and he addresses it. Verse 10, chapter 13. I also discovered that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, so that the Levites and the singers who performed the service had gone away, each to his own field. Wow. We had this great, wonderful worship when the dedication of all the singers and the worship and the performance instruments, and it was glorious to God. And they were provided for in the context of temple worship. They were provided for. And Tobias taking up the rooms for all the gatherings for all their provision. And so they didn't get paid, and they left. They went back each to their own field. You know, they couldn't get by. Right to their own fields. And so here we see the effects of what? Other effects. You know, whenever there's sin and evil, it always reaches other places, right? It always affects other things around it. There's always consequences. And notice what he says here. He discovered that the portions of the Levites had not been given. So what does he do? Verse 11. So I reprimanded the officials and said, why is the house of God forsaken? right down to the point. You're forsaking God's house. You're forsaking it. You're not obeying His word in relationship to how they are to be provided for the service and worship of the Lord. I reprimanded them. It's interesting. We have the high priest being exposed by Nehemiah's action. We have reprimanding of the officials here. We have reprimanding of the nobles in verse 17. And then in verse 20, we have those who were corrupted through intermarriage, the priesthood, the covenant, and the Levites. We got the leaders all messed up, and Nehemiah is cleaning house here. He's doing the right thing. Why is the house of God forsaken? Again, this is one of the areas that they had made a commitment in chapter 10. After being convicted of their sin, we're not going to forsake the house of the Lord. Verse 39. They weren't giving the tithes, and they said, we're going to do it. We're going to commit to it. Oh, how fast they fell. And oh, how fast we can fall. We get convicted of something, and we are committed to doing what's right. We're trusting the Lord, and all of a sudden time goes by, and we start to step back into those same bad patterns or whatever it might be. Don't go there. Learn. Be instructed from their evil. Don't do it. So he reprimanded them. And not only does he reprimand them, he makes it right. This is a good leader. He makes it right. Then, middle of verse 11, I gathered them together and restored them to their posts. Now, there's differing possibilities here. Some might say he gathered the officials and restored them to their posts. But I would beg to differ, because they were already gathered together being reprimanded. I think he's gathering together those who had left and brought them back to their posts, brought them back to their duties in the temple. We're going to see that. The Levites and the singers who had left. And then notice the tithes start coming in. Verse 12, and all Judah then brought the tithe of the grain, the wine, and oil into the storehouses. That was Tobiah's old place, right? The storehouses. So brought it back into the temple. And notice something that's really important here, really important. And in charge of the storehouses, verse 13, I appointed Shelemiah, the priest, Zadok, the scribe, they're named here, and Pedadiah of the Levites. In addition to them was Hanan, the son of Zachor, the son of Mattaniah. And this is really important. For they were considered reliable. Isn't that great? And it was their task to distribute to their kinsmen. They were to make sure the tithes got to those singers and the Levites so that they didn't have to go away and go back to their fields, right? According to the word of God, they were considered reliable. The term reliable here speaks of being faithful, speaks of being firm, solid, reliable. This is a great principle for leadership in the church. When people are appointed to tasks, they need to be those who are faithful, those who are considered reliable, who will do what they should be doing. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, talking to Timothy, talks about the appointment of deacons. He says they must be faithful in all things. Chapter 3, verse 11. And the Lord considered that Paul was faithful, putting him into service. 1 Timothy 1:12. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, Paul says that he should entrust, Timothy should trust the truth of God, these things, to the faithful men who will teach others also. Faithful men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he says it's required of stewards that one be found trustworthy or faithful. Those are stewards in the word there, we see, but also there's the issue of stewardship. And what about the parable of the talents? What did the Lord say to the slaves who are faithful? Well done, thou good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Matthew 25:21. So he puts reliable men to take care of what had been forsaken through the evil that Eliashib did with Tobiah. He makes it right. He did good. He did good in response to evil. That's what leaders are to do. They are to do good in response to evil. Godly leaders address defilement and neglect in the house of God when they see it. It's interesting. When I first pastored, I was asked to come to a church and to help them leave their denomination because it was an ungodly denomination. The board had gotten saved. They even had women elders. They stepped down because they saw in the word there shouldn't be elders. It was great. They got saved. And within that, when I came to the church, I saw all these plaques. Plaques like so-and-so's door, so-and-so's chair, so-and-so's this and that. And we just tore all that stuff out. It's not about people. It's not about that. It's about the Lord. And we need to, by God's strength and grace, do what is right and make sure that the church is not defiled by those who are in the flesh or don't know the Lord. So then, we finish up here in this first section, in this last portion of Nehemiah. Look at verse 14 in chapter 13. He says, remember me for this, O my God, and do not blot out my loyal deeds for which I have performed for the house of my God and its services. He's talking about throwing out Tobiah. He's talking about reinstituting the tithes for those, bringing back those who were serving so they'd function rightly. He's talking about that. He's saying it's good. Remember me for this, oh my God. Now, he's prayed like this before. Chapter 5, verse 19. Remember me, oh my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Remember what I've done. Nehemiah helped the Jews, and they had been a reproach to the nations. He helped them, led them to build the wall. He did good. Now, is Nehemiah maybe in this being prideful? Is he calling upon God's favor? What is he doing? Well, I don't think Nehemiah believes that God's going to forget. I don't think that. This is not a works prayer. He is in this requesting for God to pay attention in a sense. And we do that too. Lord, see, remember, think about what has happened here. There's an encouragement. He would even talk about the bad guys, Tobiah and Sanballat, and say, remember, oh my God, those guys. Remember so that you deal with them. So that you deal with them. Not that you've forgotten it, but remember me so that you would deal with this situation and with me rightly. Indeed, I believe he prays this in light of the scriptures that we would see, like in Hebrews chapter 6. For God is not so unjust to forget your work and the love that you've shown towards the saints in having ministered and still ministered to the saints. Remember, he's requesting that. He's requesting that he would be thinking about that. And notice he says, and do not blot out my loyal deeds. You know, you think, wait a second, blot out? What kind of language is this? Well, it's a Hebraism. Basically, it's the same thing we see in Revelation, where he will not blot out your names for the book of life. It's not saying he's going to blot it out. It's saying the exact opposite. It's really saying the opposite to make a point and emphasize it. Don't blot it out. It means make it grand in a sense, right? Be thinking about it. My loyal deeds, which I have performed for the house of my God and its services, my chesed deeds, according to your covenant, Lord God, your loyal love, these things I've done. Don't let them become insignificant in a sense. You know, we pray for God to pay attention to our situations, right? You got a situation, it's prayer, you know, and you're saying, Lord, please pay attention. Please focus on, please help me in this area. Please, I ask for your help, right? And so he is righteously praying, remember me for this, oh my God. What I want to ask you is, can you have anything you can say, remember me for this, Lord, that you've done the right thing and you want God's favor upon you in the future based on the situation? There are certainly going to be some consequences to this, what he's done. Certainly going to be some issues. Lord, please be aware. Be focused on this. Remember me, Lord God, right? So then, we've seen here that godly leaders address defilement and neglect of the house of God. It's a prayer for the Lord here at the end for him to respond in appropriate fashion. Respond, Lord, in the appropriate fashion. So then, we see Nehemiah as a godly leader. And so what can we learn? Well, we need to place ourselves under godly leaders. We need to get away from evil in the context of the church. We need to be pure in that sense. We need to be walking rightly. We need to have leaders that walk rightly. We need to not compromise with those who don't know the Lord. We need not compromise and yoke ourselves with unbelievers. We need to be those who are yoked to the Lord in obedience so that He's glorified.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up this broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Dave, our takeaway is this.
Without godly leaders, sin and defilement will enter the church quickly through religious imposters. So let me ask you this. Is your leadership like Nehemiah, casting out defilement and the evil men that bring it? Or are they those who are defiling the church? If that's the case, I'd encourage you to look for a new church. And we at Equipping the Saints would love to help you with that. Just give us a call, and we'd love to point you in the direction of a godly church.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.